your attention. May I have all your eyes and ears to the front of the room, if only, for 1 second.
Hey, and welcome to Gamers First Podcast. This is our third episode, as always. I'm here, Drew Ingram. With me today is Brian Cayley.
What's going on, guys? And girls, of course. We won't leave the girls out. There are girls out there who play video games somewhere.
That's right. They somewhere exist.
I think there was like, wasn't a girl like the best Halo player for a while?
Yeah, or at least that the top clan for a while was a group of girls.
Didn't Stacy know somebody? Good.
I don't remember.
I know none of you know who Stacy is, but who cares? So yeah, I think we got a lot of stuff today. We got some news. Some funny news story for you. We got some good gaming stuff. Bringing in Borderlands, Resident Evil 6. Looking at the, I think it's called the Ouya. Is that right?
The Ouya, yes.
And some movie news. So I'm definitely quite excited about this podcast.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. And before we get into any of that, I just have one thing. Every time I come over here, Brian, like, I'm really happy that you're moving, because when I drive here, well, and I'm moving too anyway, but yes. Whatever. I'm actually moving first. But anytime I come over here, like, then freaking the gate to punch in the gate code is to the right side of the car. Like, he's on the incorrect side of the car.
Do you pull in and back
so,
up? And
then... Right. So I drive the wrong way down the road so that I'm on the right side, like the correct side.
I know. It's
and
awful.
I can click it in, and then I have to reverse it and go into the garage.
Well, since I'm moving, my gate
clicker thing.
Yeah, clicker broke.
Right.
So every time I pull in, I'm like, oh, work, and it doesn't, so I reverse, and then pull in, and then I type in the code, and I'm like, ah, oh, can't wait to move.
Anyway, all right, let's get to it. So the first thing is this news.
Yes.
And from what I hear, there's a billionaire from Australia, and he wants to create Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he wants to clone a dinosaur for his resort. I can't remember where, but yeah, he wants to clone a dinosaur. He thinks because they cloned the sheep, you know, they clone way back.
Right, Dolly or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so that he was like, so I want to clone a dinosaur. I want to have it roam free in my resort.
Has he not seen the movie?
Fun, no.
Has he not, like, read the book? The guy dies. Dinosaurs eat people.
I know, you know, we would lose our top of the food chain status. I mean, I think it's a horrible idea, but I had to tell you about that. I was amazed that this guy actually wants to do this. It's mind blowing. Maybe he should go see Jurassic Park again.
Maybe he does need to go watch it again, because yeah, it's just a very, very interesting decision of his.
But yeah, from what I have looked up recently, he has not commented on any of it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, he has. He hasn't come out and actually said that he was going to partake in dinosaur making.
Interesting. All right, whatever. Well, let's transition a little bit into gaming.
Yes.
And I wanted to start with something that we kind of talked about last week, and then immediately after our podcast, I think later that same day, actually.
Yes, I think we did.
The news came out about Apple is releasing a gaming controller. So we talked about, we were excited to see where Apple was going to go. Right.
We've seen some concepts.
So yeah, so it seems like they put in a patent and for a game controller. The controller looks almost exactly like a DualShock 3.
Yeah,
it looks like it might be a little more awkward to hold than a DualShock.
Yeah, it looks like it's more angled.
Right, it's a little wider. The places where you put your hands, where you grip the controller, seems out a little wider. I know a lot of people are thinking, because normally Apple doesn't patent its design stuff. Like, it patents some of its technologies.
Right, so doesn't come out, right?
But Apple, their strategy is not patent things as a business and keep the design really closely held.
Right.
So that, because when you put in a patent, things like this happen, where
like
people
the Xbox
can see
720
it.
Did.
Right. When Microsoft puts in their patents, then people can see it. And that's just how it goes. And so the culture of Apple is to not patent things.
Mm-hmm.
So I know one of the things that people are talking about is Apple might just be patenting the near field communication, the NFC portion of it, because there's a diagram. One of the diagrams is of like a phone and the controller.
Right. It's like it looks like an iPhone.
Well, it's like an iPhone and the actual hardware game controller.
Oh. Okay.
And then it shows the like what looks like an NES controller on the iPhone.
Right.
But they like put them together and like supposedly like if you've seen the Samsung Galaxy S3, they have this technology where you kind of tap the phone and it sends communication.
It sends the communication
stuff. And so that's NFC, and Apple has been working a lot on that and putting in different patents for that. And so maybe Apple is just patenting
like a new controller for
the technology that goes into that communication between the controller and the phone. And that isn't actually the design of their controller. Now they probably are making a controller if they're putting that kind of stuff out.
Yeah.
But that might not be their actual design. That just might be so that the technology, the communication between the iPhone and the controller is there.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the fact that that's what Apple's missing. I mean, they're missing the gaming market and the TV market. And obviously, when Steve Jobs
died. We're slightly misleading saying that they're missing gaming.
Well, yeah,
because they are the biggest gaming platform.
Right.
And there are some deep games on the iPhone, things like Infinity Blade.
That's true.
I always
forget about that game.
Right. Like, I mean, it's a touch control game.
The dungeon one?
On iPad, I think. I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure it's out on iPad, and people really like it. But they do have games. They are technically the largest player in the gaming industry right now. Because of the app store.
They don't do really at home.
Everything they do is mobile.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Which is actually, I'm going to tell you, when I went to Dave & Buster's not too long ago, Infinity Blade is at Dave & Buster's, like on a big old touchscreen TV.
Really?
Yeah. You can actually play it. You get like tickets if you get up to like certain levels. I was like, oh my God, you would probably come in here and murder this.
That's pretty cool. I might have to go check that out.
And what's the other? Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja.
Yes. And it's all on TVs that you just touch. And I was like, that's hilarious.
That's pretty cool.
I've been waiting to see what Apple does. Because, I mean, who knows if it was a marketing ploy or what. But, you know, obviously everybody says when Steve Jobs, before he passed away, he talked about how he cracked the TV.
Right.
And so everybody's like, well, what is this TV? Is it like a gaming TV? Is it a TV with Siri? Is it a TV that flies? Is that my phone? Yes, it is.
Come on, Brian.
I'm sorry.
You need to take that one?
No, I don't need to take it.
Okay.
Sorry about that. That's my wife. Well, moving on.
But no, you don't need to take that one.
It'll be okay. I hope. So that's the Apple controller. We're all really excited to see what they do. I mean, who isn't excited to see what Apple's going to do? Because as I have stated before, with the new Xbox and with the way the future is going, I know we have, you know, a long time till all this happens, but I mean, 360 is doing a great job. You know, Microsoft, I don't know why I said 360, is doing a great job bringing everything together. Windows 8, you know, is going to be the version of Apple's where it comes to your phone, it comes to your tablets, and now all that's going to repeat back to your console. And that's crazy. So
right. Apple, everything that they have right now is a great ecosystem.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
And they keep making slight improvements to Apple TV and that kind
of
stuff.
Cloud. We're going
to
see a lot more cloud stuff in the future, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely coming. And that's...
which I still don't like. I don't trust my information just floating about. I mean, if UT students with $1,000 worth of equipment can hack into military drones, then I don't feel like my cloud storage is safe.
Yeah, if you missed that, Brian and I's alma mater, the University of Texas at Austin.
UT, baby.
So
we are based
were,
in
there
Austin.
Were a few people, a couple groups of people that were students at UT, and they took themselves and $1,000 and hacked into a military drone.
Yep.
So check that out on the news.
I think what it was is they were so excited about the next Call of Duty. They're like, let's prove that the next Call of Duty story could be
It's
real.
Grounded in reality. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
It's
just
Black Ops 2, baby. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, actually, whenever I read that story. You know what? I've got to take a pause because you talked about the cloud, and it reminded me of something that's not on our list for today. Big news. So I talked about PlayStation Plus last week's podcast.
Yes.
Officially PlayStation Plus.
Yes, you are.
I bought into it, and it is amazing. Instant game collection is the real deal.
I can't believe you're getting Walking Dead series.
Yeah, and yes, next week, next week, Walking Dead episode 1 and episode 2 for free. If you don't do PlayStation Plus, do PlayStation Plus now. Brian, I'm going to be here next week. You can still come play those games.
I know, right?
I hear they only took a couple hours to get through. But if you're not PlayStation Plus right now and you own a PS3 and it's your console of choice, Brian has both but plays the 360 way more. But if the PS3 is your console of choice,
definitely,
and you haven't played Infamous 2, Just Cause 2, those two games alone, and Little Big Planet 2, really.
That's $150 right there. Yeah. Actually, no, you go 60, so it's really over $120 worth of stuff.
Right, and so that's great, and it's an excellent service. Takes forever to download 14 gigabyte games. Let me tell you that much, but. At the same time, it's worth it. So,
interesting fact on that too. It could get people used to downloading digital games, which might be another feature.
Which is how it's kind of moving. Yeah. And I still think that they need to give at least a $5 discount from retail when they put them online right away. Because if it was PSN and I could pay $55 for it from the PlayStation Network or $55 from the Xbox Live Arcade instead of going to GameStop or something. Well, yeah, I mean, that would be great. That would be preferred. But even $5 would make me download it over going to the store.
Yeah, and the reason why I say that too, so in case anybody out there is wondering, like, that'll never happen. You cannot expect the market to go down in price. Well, you know, if you look at PC gaming, you look at Steam summer sales, that's ridiculous. Like, I know you can't compare, and I know PC's been around longer, and I know all the things people say, but if Microsoft and Sony and all those guys want to do the digital market and they want to like make something like PC, then you got to make something like PC. I mean, the Steam is just amazing in the way.
Yeah, and I'll say that PlayStation Plus, you do get deep discounts, like almost like Steam sales. I mean, there are some games where it's half off or 75% off. Gotham City Impostors is free. Like new games that get cut pretty well like that. So there's a lot of games, and we started doing reviews is another big thing. Yeah. After the last podcast,
we're going old and new.
That's right.
We're not, you know, we have no shame here. So, no shame to admit.
So I've talked about that. I'm catching up. I'm playing catch up right now. So I just finished the first Infamous, and I'm playing Infamous 2 right now.
Right.
With PlayStation Plus, I also got in on, things like Gotham City Impostors, which is new, Pac-Man Championship Edition DX, which is an incredible game. Maybe the best, sit-down arcade-y kind of game that's available on the PS3. That, and I know Zen Pinball really good, but I haven't played it.
I was going to say, Rayman Origins is an arcade-y kind of game.
Right, but I'm talking, I'm talking old-school kind of.
Right.
And, I mean, this is the coolest Pac-Man you'll ever play in your life. If you ever get a chance to play Championship Edition DX, it's a great game, and I'll have a review on that coming up pretty soon. But I'm getting those old games. And really nothing new right now, but I'm looking forward to August, and we'll get there in a little bit.
Yes,
but August. You're talking about that kind of stuff. EA, little aside, EA's Origin service, where they sell their games online.
Right, yeah, it started with
He said that they're not going to give discounts.
I read that.
Cheapens the IP, which is, from a business standpoint, makes sense, but it doesn't make sense for
in the
games.
Market. Yeah, in the market standpoint.
As a general business rule, running discounts, I learned this in my first marketing class at UT, that as a general rule, giving a discount cheapens your brand and cheapens your IP, because you're giving a sale, and you're saying that it isn't actually worth whatever we said it was. We can really give it away for this, when it's coming from when it's coming from EA and not from the retailer, it's different. But games like the way Steam does it is it's coming from Steam. It is Steam itself putting those games on sale.
Right.
And doing what they can do to put games at $2 and $3, good games. It's not whoever made those games.
Well, I know that.
And so, but so,
same thing,
so
like,
EA,
it works
EA is
in the,
weird.
In their business and GameStop as well. I mean, you know, it's coming from them. The used game sales and all that stuff come directly from them.
Yeah. But anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, so. Well, from
get
there,
on PlayStation Plus and, and check
on,
that out.
Get on PlayStation Plus. The Walking Dead alone makes me want to get on.
Right,
two
new episodes.
I'm just like, oh man, it's awesome.
And we were talking about cloud. I mentioned that cloud tied these together. It's cloud saves for PSN.
Yes.
And I do like that, especially moving forward to the next gen, the ability to save my games, even if I'm not going to be able to play those PS3 games
again. Especially a good
things
on 360
like,
as well.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because you don't have to worry about buying that drive. to save your, you know, to bring your game over to a friend's house. Now you can actually just put it up in the cloud, go to your friend's house and access it.
It is really nice. All right. Anyway, moving on from this kind of stuff, what's next on our list here?
Yeah, I actually recently had been, you know, stalking IGN and GameSpot on Resident Evil 6 news. And I don't know how many people have been keeping up with this game, because I know a lot of people fell off of it when they bought Dragon's Dogma, which actually was a really good game by Capcom. And they got, you know, invited to the Resident Evil 6 beta. And a lot of people talked about it, got to watch it, even IGN did, and they all hated it. They're like, what the hell is this? This game sucks.
Because whose storyline they were playing, though. That's, exactly. You were launched into one of four campaigns. Right. At the time, it was
one of three.
Okay. Yeah. That's right.
And now there's four. There are four campaigns now.
That's right. Yeah, that's one of the first things, and I guess we'll get a little more into that in a second. But so you're playing one of the multiple campaigns. Right. And
each campaign is a quarter, or I can't remember the exact amount, but I mean it's a section of the Resident Evil 5 game. So essentially, you're getting, I mean, it's a huge experience,
right?
And they're giving you this 5-minute snippet. So
right, and you're playing one which seems to be the least popular with at least the people on those websites, on IGN and GameSpot and that kind of stuff. They're just they're not fans. It's one where you're running away a whole lot.
There is that showing Chris's level. You're running away the whole time, and then just a lot of people didn't understand what was going on. And I think it's because you need to play the full game,
context, right?
And I know there were some huge complaints, but the wonderful thing is, you know, they came out and they said, we've listened to the fans and we've already started fixing it. And recently, IGN got a huge preview. We found out there is a fourth campaign.
Right.
It's going to be Ada Wong, which actually unlocks after you complete the game.
With at least one of the other ones?
No, all three.
Okay.
All three you finish, and there's going to be all these questions that are left unanswered, and you're going to be like, oh, what the heck just happened? And then you're like, oh, there's another campaign. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to log in, you know, as Ada Wong, and they said as of right now, it's like their favorite one. So they said, you know, Resident Evil 6 will end on a strong
note. So, yeah, so from what I understand is that, yeah, Ada Wong's will kind of tie everything together and fill in the pieces. And then it also is the most quintessentially Resident Evil. Like, thinking back to the first 2, 3, 4 games even, in the series, and it's not Resident Evil 5-ish, where it was a little not as scary and a more like just kind of shoot 'em up kind of stuff. And I know they said that even the one that they thought was going to be like Resident Evil 5, do you remember the I'm missing the one that's the military guy.
That there's Chris, there's Leon, and there's I can't remember the other girl's name. I think it's Leon's story. He's going to be very, almost make you want to stand and shoot, even though you can walk and shoot.
Yes, which is going to be pretty scary and that kind of stuff. And then, then there's one where it's somebody's story and they're military.
I think that's Chris.
And you're going through. Okay, and Chris's story,
it's Resident Evil 4.
Is right, and a lot more action, that kind of stuff. But it's evidently,
I mean, 5. I'm sorry.
Right, more like 5. And so you have your whole crew. But then what Capcom is saying is that eventually that crew starts
dying,
being dispersed, right? And so you are these mean zombie killing machines at the beginning, and nothing can get in your way. And then you start getting split up and cut off from one another, and so it eventually devolves and becomes something
completely different,
a little more what we know and love about the Resident Evil series, and a little bit less just trying to be another action game.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it too. I love what they're doing. Because, you know, they're creating, and first of all, this is the most massive Resident Evil that's going to probably ever be made.
Huge, yeah. Because each one's 8 hours or plus.
I mean,
plus.
It's
going to
be insane. And I really like how, I mean, I know some people won't, because you're technically, you are being forced to play, you know,
in a certain style.
Right. But I think it's cool. It's like, you know, here's Resident Evil 1. Mm-hmm. You know, here's Resident Evil 5.
Right.
And now here's like all the Resident Evils. I mean, that's going to, and it's cool that you're breaking up the action completely. And I mean, I'm excited about
And if nothing else, like, I have not been a fan of the Resident Evil series. I'm not a big survival horror kind of gameplay fan. It's just not my preferred style.
You just get too scared.
I think it's part of, well, that is definitely part of it.
Sweating,
like,
and you're
Dead
like,
Space,
I can't play this
Dead
game
Space
anymore.
And stuff. Like, I can't play for more than an hour. And not even just scared, but the level of anxiety that builds,
it
and
does.
Knowing
Space,
that every single corner I turn, like, there might be something
you
there.
Like every, you
and
like,
even when there's not, sometimes it's worse when there's nothing there. Because I'm like, oh crap, where's the next necromorph coming? Yeah. You know, and so
the sound kicks up, and you're like, something's
right? I can't. Exactly, it's the same thing in horror movies. And You know, like I could just feel my blood pressure at that high peak, and not being able to play a game for more than like that really short period of time gets to me a little bit too, because like I want to know how the story's progressing,
right?
But it's physically taxing to play the game, which is really cool that they can do games like that. I'm just, I can't personally handle it that well. And so, Ryan, I know you love those games, right? Like, I mean, it's and so
I get up and run around my room.
For me, right? For me, this is gonna be an exciting Resident Evil because maybe I'll at least enjoy playing through one or two of those campaigns if I don't enjoy playing through all four. There, it seems like there are some that might be a little more tailored to different types of gamers, and they give you a little bit different style of play each time.
And then the biggest thing that they released that I'm so excited about, to be honest with you, I can't wait to see this, is going to be the online mode. After you complete the campaign, you actually can go, you can go to this multiplayer mode, and you actually can go back through the campaign as a zombie playing to get somebody who's playing the campaign.
That's an interesting type of online. That's really cool.
It's kind of like they took like a Demon Souls route to it, where at any time someone can actually spawn into your game, take control of a zombie, and just like come after you. And I don't know how it's going to be balanced, because the zombies in this are intense, and I don't know what you get out of it. I mean, they haven't really shown a lot, they haven't really talked about it, they just kind of pretty much said, hey, this is going to be our online mode, and they have a little quick video over at IGN. But I mean, I'm super excited to see how that's going to play. That sounds really, really cool.
That is, that's really interesting to be able to participate in somebody's campaign experience that way. And I can tell you one thing, if you want to play that game, and if you're going to have it online, that kind of stuff, you might want to play it early, because I bet there are some people who get really good at being zombies.
That's another thing, too. You're like, I can't get past this level, because Hitman BK won't leave me alone.
Hitman BK, of course.
That's Ryan. Me, yes. That's my if you have a vendetta against my voice, or the way I talk, or if you just hate me because you don't like this podcast, you can friend me at Hitman BK and attempt to destroy me in Halo, Battlefield, or Homefront. I can't, you know, say that you'll win, but I can say that you can try. But from there, you know, we were talking about older games, and I, you know, just recently started playing Borderlands.
Right.
I know me and you actually rocked DLC, the Zed, you know, Dr. Zed.
Yeah, Dr. Zed, the zombie island.
Which is awesome.
Which is actually, yeah, some of the best DLC we've ever played.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And
Borderlands really, we talked about it, I think, on one of the first podcasts.
Yeah, I think we did.
On the first one, I think, about how we didn't really get through it, though, but because we were talking about Borderlands 2 and being excited for it, and it was just, for me, that's a game that's really fully experienced when you're playing co-op. It's very fun to play by yourself, but it's so much better when you get to share this co-op, and so I was able to come over this past weekend. And
I was all by myself.
Yeah.
Alone. Like, you come over, please.
Right. So Brian and I, both of our families kind of left us for the weekend. And we were pretty lonely for a couple of days. So we hung out. We played some Borderlands. And it was great. Playing through the Doctor's Eds was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And that was one of the best pieces of DLC.
The coolest thing, remember, was whenever you came in, because we played split screen, so whenever you start Borderlands, it doesn't matter how far along I was, Drew had to come in as level 1.
Wherever he was, right? Because there was no character. I didn't have a character saved at level 15 or whatever.
And I was at around, 16. And I was like, how's this going to work? And then it was just hilarious, because I would just go through these levels, and Drew would like sit way behind. He was playing as the sniper class.
The hunter.
And he was sniping, but he's like, dude, these aren't taking any damage.
I mean, sometimes it literally did no damage. I would headshot people and get like 9 points of damage, because Borderlands is, in its typical cartoony fashion, shows you how much damage you're doing, which is a really cool feature.
Yeah, too, and it tells you too, you know, in an MMO sort of way, like, hey, this is doing nothing.
Right, if they're resisting to it, or if you're hitting critical, then you know you're doing well. So it's a cool gameplay mechanic. But I was like, Brian, it's like not even like they're resistant. I just only do 2 damage to these guys, because they're level 15, level 16.
And we were wondering, I was like, man, well, do you get any experience? And I start running through and killing everybody, and all of a sudden Drew's character's like, level up, level up, level up. And I was just like, oh my god.
I mean, I caught up, by the time we were done with the DLC, which, 2.5 hours maybe, total playtime, then I was level 19 or level 20 and was only 2 levels behind Brian.
It was insane. I was like, well, that tells us that.
That was cool. That was fun. And it was nice that it worked that well.
It was. Because I didn't know at first if we'd even be able to play.
The interesting thing about Borderlands co-op is that you kind of end up, you can very easily screw the person you're playing with.
Yes, you can.
Because the loot, it's not like Diablo or something, or right, some MMO sure. where there's separate loots, like where everybody gets whatever loot was right. there.
Well, you actually get the money in the money and experience.
Money and experience is completely shared.
Not the ammo and the weapons.
But no loot. Yeah, right. Exactly. Other than money, none of the loot is shared. So if you open a treasure chest that has like this really nice sniper, like one, Brian could have let my character have it since I'm really good at sniper. Or like if he wanted it, he could just pick it up and like not even say anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, and just pick it up and keep going. And so it's not necessarily benefiting you to pick it up.
Right.
But if you're playing online co-op with three other guys and you just see a really good sniper rifle, you might want to just pick it up.
Sell it.
Yeah.
$4,000.
Right.
So you definitely want to play with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Friends that you like. Who like you.
Or that like you, yeah, at least.
Like, you know what? Why'd you do this to me today? You see the sniper? It's fine. I've enjoyed it. I think I'm actually going to beat it this weekend. I mean, I work pretty far. I've kind of figured out in Borderlands that in every new town, they kind of repeat the same side mission, so I'm avoiding those. And just kind of following the story and enjoying my time with it. And getting ready for Borderlands 2, which, as we had said before, we are both really excited about, which releases on September 18th.
Right.
Coming
up soon.
I think we're both going to get, but sadly won't be able to play together since he likes PlayStation. So.
And he's an Xbox, so you know what I mean? Like, it's just how it is.
That's right. In case we all were wondering, you are listening to the Microsoft fanboy and a PlayStation fanboy, and we get along just fine. So.
That's right. We can coexist here. How about that? If there are multiple times in my life where I've been fairly tempted to get a 360.
All right.
And this has been one of them because, one, it's like
library.
It's late in the cycle. I can go back and play, you know, the entire
series of Halo,
all of Gears of War, and Fable. I'm a big, like, RPG kind of guy,
well,
so I can go back.
Three,
yeah, evidently
three
Fable 3 sucks. But I can play, you know, at least the second one, and I could go through and play some of those series and that kind of stuff. And then also, I was worried about games like Borderlands, where Brian is one of the people that I really enjoy playing co-op with, and I'm going to have to find people. So if you're going to get Borderlands 2, and I'll make some big pushes for this as the game comes out, my PSN is BlazeDDI, and you're welcome to hit me up now. I'm playing all kinds of stuff, really all over the board. If you want to play some Gotham City Imposters, always down. That's just a very fun game. It's really different than a lot of other shooters on console right now. Because of the gadgets that you have, but if you're gonna play Borderlands 2,
yes,
then hit me up so I can have some co-op buddies to run through and make things explode.
Maybe for you, Drew, I'll get it on PS3. No one ever really plays with me anyways on 360, and I know you're really gonna like it, so maybe I'll jump in there on PS3. It'll be like that and Kings of Amalur are the only two games I'll have on PS3.
Because I gave you
Kingdom of Mystery. All Borderlands 2, in case you don't know, and I think we talked about this a little bit in the previous podcast, they did say how long it's going to be, just the campaign, no side missions, 58 hours.
So
that's already insane.
Game.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. I think it is more based around a story.
Mm-hmm.
The main villain, Handsome Jack, will be talking to you throughout the game.
Right,
which I think is really cool.
It's an interesting way they're having him directly talk at you.
And they're going to be making new world records with a gazillion
guns. Yeah, they said a gazillion guns.
The coolest thing, though, I mean, have you seen I think you've been watching too the videos on it.
Right.
I mean, how every gun this time around is actually going to look different.
Right.
And reload different and shoot different.
Right. Almost every the thing about like the way you look at Borderlands when you look at guns, there's really only
three or
four bodies of snipers that look different, and it's all that changes is the scope, the way that they reload,
and the color,
and the color, and that's all that really changes. And then the effects are
awesome,
like exponential, and that's how they get up to 17 million.
Right.
But when you look at the guns, they look pretty similar.
Right.
There's a couple ways that it reloads. There's a couple different scopes.
Right.
But the effects are what change the guns dramatically,
the elemental effect,
which is still going to be there,
and the different damage boosters and that kind of stuff.
And so and they're adding more. They're adding a couple extra elemental effects, at least one. I know it's called like slag or something.
Yeah, that's true.
But it looks like it's gonna be really good. So the way that they got to so many more games is more
weapons.
Guns. Yeah, more weapons is that they put you know, there's like five or six different manufacturers of weapons instead of just one.
And it's really
like
cool looking
game.
At some of them. Some of them reload, you just like throw it away, and another one magically appears.
Right? No, that's what that was maybe my favorite thing I've heard about the game so far. Right? Is that there are pistols. There are a couple. There's a type of pistol in the game where when you click reload, you immediately throw the pistol at the enemy directly
right.
in front
and
of you,
one just pops
and another one's in your hand fully reloaded.
That's awesome. And I saw one too. It's like a plasma. It's got like a cool little, I mean, futuristic look to it. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely excited at looking at the gazillion of weapons and how
right.
they're going to shoot and play. And on top of that, in case you guys were wondering, huge Borderlands fans, the classes this time around will be a Gunzerker, which is actually a new class.
It's kind of like the Brawler.
Right. It's kind of like the Brawler. He gets double weapons.
Right. So the weird
power.
Thing about the Brawler was that like his action. Whatever is action effect
right,
or
yeah,
something.
Special
whatever.
Ability.
Yeah, your special ability is that you like you just have your fists in the first Borderlands and
right,
you run up and like
me,
punch
yeah,
people.
You punch
like your left trigger is your left fist and your right trigger is your right fist. And so kind of in that vein of like doing something with both hands, but making it not
right.
melee and have to run your way in
now
the middle
of
people.
Like a fire shotgun and then a sniper rifle with explosive ammo.
Right, and you just keep
yes,
shooting.
Yes, those
are
extremely different weapons, but it's awesome.
They're great. Exactly. they're both excellent.
And from there, we have the Assassin, which is sounds like an awesome class.
Right, which
and
is
actually,
the... Used to be, it's kind of like the Hunter that I was playing.
Right.
Where you can be really good at ranged combat, at sniping
right.
and that kind of stuff.
You have a sword.
But, right.
Yes.
And so your action ability is you create a different, like a fake hologram of yourself.
Right.
And so all the enemies start looking at it.
Right.
And you can run up next to them and your sword does tons of damage and you can upgrade the sword mm-hmm. and add certain effects and that kind of stuff to
which
it
is
as
really
you go
cool
along.
To think like you're this character who's going to either be an extreme close-up guy.
Or extreme distance.
Or extreme distance. And on top of that, when you release this decoy, you get this like... sort of different view that shows you all the critical points of the enemy.
Right.
Which is pretty awesome.
So you can
so
run up to him and
you
make the most
hit all the critical
of it.
Points.
Right.
Right. So that sounds awesome. And then carrying over from the second, from Borderlands are the Siren class and the Commando class.
Yeah. The Commando is, I think, called the Soldier
yes,
in the first one, but it's almost identical.
Yeah,
you
get
a
turn out.
Right. You get a lot of cooler additions
right.
to your turret. But
and then the Siren class, what's different is the phase now is a phase lock. So instead mm-hmm. of running through enemies in Borderlands, you will now lock them up like in the air.
Sphere
yeah.
of whatever the heck your power
is. Which
is
just,
is,
I mean, co-op glory. It's like, hey Drew, I'm going to lock him and then you gun berserker him. It's
right.
Just, I can't wait to see this.
And so there are, and the cool thing, they really added a lot to the skill trees.
Yes, they did. It's huge.
And really, really enhanced them. They're significantly bigger.
You have to pick. I mean, you have to pick now.
Right.
You can't, you're not going to be able to dev out, you know, skills everywhere.
Right. And so you can only do it to a certain extent. And I think they're going to hopefully... pull a little bit from Darksiders 2, which we'll mention
yes.
a little bit in a little. But Darksiders 2 has it where, like, if you get to a certain level, like, say, like, you got to level 10 with your character Death, then there are new skill trees that you can unlock
right.
on the other side. So, like, Darksiders 2 really only has two main trees, but you can put nothing into, like, the magic tree and go all brawler, and then at, like, level 12, there's a really cool magic thing on the other side, and it's the beginning of a new skill tree within
yeah.
that tree, and you can start there. Which is nice.
I love
it. And it's a good
options.
Way to split it. Yeah. But so
same
so hopefully Borderlands, you know, if I'm gotten to a certain level on my one skill tree, then I can start on that level in a different skill tree.
Yeah.
If I wanted to. And maybe not, but that would be something
cool. It'll be interesting to look at. And they're already working on, they finished the game.
Yeah.
So they're just bugging it out and they're already working on DLC, which is a new class. There's not, no one knows much about it, but it is called the Necromancer, and you're this crazy little girl. So.
Right. It looks like there's a level that you play in where this Tiny Tina. And
they actually,
and evidently they said
it's a little too much.
Right.
But.
I heard that they kind of is a misfire
right.
as far as comedy goes there. Whereas Borderlands is, that's one of the beautiful things about Borderlands
yeah,
is how funny it is.
Right.
Things your guys say or whatever, or they give an example from Borderlands 2 of like, this guy is trying to return a gun to the gunsmith.
Right.
And he takes the gun from him, shoots him in the leg. He's like, looks like
it
works to me. And so that's quintessential Borderlands is that style of comedy. laced in there.
So we are definitely very excited to see the, I mean, for the release, I can't wait. To catch up on some future news, there, the people behind the Witcher series, CD Projekt Red, I found out yesterday, they're making a new game called Cyberpunk. It's going to be an RPG blending a sort of Deus Ex, Shell Shock, and Ghost in a Shell game. So I don't know if all you know what those games are, but if you don't, check them out. I don't really have enough time to explain those to you. With a sort of Blade Runner feel, and it's going to be insanely customization. So I just want to throw that out there for you guys. It's definitely something to keep an eye out on, because I think, I mean, Drew doesn't, you know, believe me, we've had arguments on this, but yeah. I think The Witcher 2 is the greatest RPG ever made. So I can't wait to see what
they
do.
Well, and really, this just hinges on our different personalities as gamers, though, is like, you really enjoy Western RPGs.
I think
RPGs.
It's amazing.
Well, and you enjoy Western RPGs.
I will
RPGs.
Not argue with you
anymore. No, this is all I'm saying. This is all I'm saying. I'm more of a fan. The only Western RPG that I've really dived into is Mass Effect. And gameplay really got me on that one.
Right.
Because I don't like the way that a lot of other Western RPGs play. Like, I'm not a Skyrim fan, and y'all can dog me all you want for that.
I don't like Skyrim. It's too much.
But whatever. But like, it isn't that it's too much. Though. And like Fallout 3, I could hardly play through Fallout 3 just because I that style of game isn't for me. And I'm much more of like a JRPG kind of guy. So Final Fantasies are my thing. Whereas
I'm surprised you haven't played Dragon's Dogma, because that's a huge JRPG. Over in Japan too, it's like insanely huge.
Yeah, it's the style game, the action RPG, fun to me as the different battle systems in Final Fantasy or tactics kind of games are just much more my style for an RPG. I've been playing Final Fantasy VI for the first time ever. Amazing game. A lot of people say it's the best one in the series. It was for Super Nintendo, I think.
Right.
Or maybe Nintendo. I don't remember. But it's sprite animation. Like, it's not even 3D.
Wow, really?
So, like, graphics-wise, it's really... But it still holds up because of that.
Right.
Like, as opposed to something like Final Fantasy VII, which is a great game, it does still hold up, where, like, you look at it, and you're like, man, these are, like, really early...
Right.
Polygonal, like, whatever, like... That kind of stuff. Since it's still sprites, it's like visually still cool to look at.
Right, right.
Get that
old look, retro,
which is fine. Like so I can handle that a little more. And the story is
so weird. definitely keep an eye out on that. Those of you who like CD Projekt Red, I thought this was kind of funny. We were talking about free to play, you know, last podcast. Star Wars went free to play.
Yeah.
So any of you ever wanted to get into it, now you can. It's free to play.
So we talked about.
Sorry, not yet, but in the future, it's about to be
very soon. Yeah, they're gonna run the game on sale for $15.
Right.
And for $15, you get the game and you get 1 month worth of subscription.
Right.
Because they're still gonna have a paid option,
kind of a premium option.
Because
there's just so much content. The only way to get that content and to participate in numerous Warzone and PvP battles will be being a subscription.
Right.
But you can play through the whole campaign, level 50.
Mm-hmm.
With all the characters for free now.
Yeah, which is really nice. And we talked about that they had the trial to level 15, just like World of Warcraft was doing and that kind of stuff. And it looked like they were moving this direction, and they definitely did. So BioWare here in Austin actually are the ones that work on this Star Wars: The Old Republic, and it's something to get into if you've been sticking out of it
and
you want to play it for free, go play it for free.
The fact that it's free to play now makes me even madder than just make, you know, an RPG.
Yeah.
Just made the RPG, but, you know, whatever. Then we wanted to talk about August. We just want to tell you guys to get ready to lose all your money.
Yeah.
That's all we wanted to say.
It's a big month.
It is a big month. You got Darksiders 2, which I know Drew's really excited about.
I'm pumped about Darksiders 2. I just finished the first game. And, breaking news today, this morning, actually, is that Darksiders 2 has found a way to... they're rewarding players that played Darksiders and that beat Darksiders. So if you just played Darksiders, you're already going to get... a bonus. And if you beat Darksiders, you get an extra bonus.
And you did, didn't you?
Yeah, and so I played and beat Darksiders this summer, actually, which is what's got me psyched for Darksiders 2. So I'm really excited about that. And I also think that they're doing it in a very innovative way that I'd like to see moving forward, especially as we make the transition to next gen, is they're not using your save game files, which a lot of games do. Like Infamous and Mass Effect, they use your save games, right? And move it over and continue forward and get bonuses. Trophies and achievements.
Oh man, yeah.
And so this was great. Like, I think this is incredible. If this is really how they're using it, this is the news stories that I read this morning. This is how they're doing it. And so they know that, like, if you at least have the trophy for like the beginning of the game, playing the beginning of the game, then you have then you get the level 5 blade or something, like helmet or whatever. You get some thing, and then you get cool chaos blade scythes that are kind of like War's Chaos Eater sword. If you beat the game, and the way they know that is by if you have one of the trophies for or achievements for beating the game. And so I think this is really cool. I think that's using trophies and achievements in a good way, because one, you have to actually play the game to get trophies and achievements in most games. There are a few games where you can load up a save and then put in the game, and it'll if you have an in-game save, then it'll load up all the trophies.
I think that's cool anyways. Because
but not as many.
Imagine being rewarded. It's like, hey, if you get 100%, then we're going to give you,
that's what I think, right? Like, this this really opens it up for a lot of really cool things of the ways that you can use trophies and achievements moving forward.
I like that a lot. I'd like to be rewarded.
And I think that it does that. It makes you actually play the game because you have to play the game to get the achievement. You can't just, like, right now, I'm playing Infamous 2, and you can load up an Infamous 1 save. And I don't really want to play Infamous 1 again, Renegade. Or not Renegade, whatever. Bad Karma. Mass Effect 3 in my head. But if I don't want to play Bad. So I could go online, download a save of somebody that did Infamous as a Bad Karma, put it in, and then get the bonus to continue that save or whatever. And you can do that with saves really easily. You can't do that with trophies and achievements.
No, there's no way to do that.
And so it rewards the people that really did play the game, that really did beat the game. And it opens it up for things like you said. Yeah. Like, if you played the game on hard, we're going to give you something better, right? And which is what you need.
Beyond personal value.
Right. It's really cool. I like trophies a whole lot. Getting the levels up and that kind of stuff.
I like having, my number 2 on Xbox. My number, I think, 40,000 right now.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of nice.
So it's really cool to have, your gamer score and your whatever. And but to assign value to them would be really cool too. So if you get the platinum trophy, which are the significantly harder trophies to get on PS3, then if you get a platinum trophy, maybe you get $5 on the PlayStation Network
awesome.
Or something, right? So these are things that I think about, and I think this is kind
of
opening
up a new wave,
right? They're just starting it, and so the developers of Darksiders, I have a lot of appreciation for the way that they're handling this.
Now I'm really excited.
If you have a Darksiders save, or if you're not thinking about playing the first one, but you definitely should. It's a good game, and it still holds up.
Oh,
I just played it this summer. And it's a little slow because your character is slow.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a really fun game. And if you play through it, it's cheap right now. I got it at GameStop for close to $10.
Yeah, you can get it real cheap.
And so if you play through
it, you should write a review
of it. Huh? Oh, it'll be there at some point. But definitely check that out. And if you play through the first one, then you get your trophies or your achievements for the second one. And I think that the developers are on the right track. I think that's where we need to go with trophies and achievements. I think we need to reward people tangibly more than just a score. It's really cool. I check out my percentage of I have to get to the next trophy level. That's the reason I like trophies so much, is there's levels, right? So I'm level 11 and 70% towards level 12, and I want to get to level 12 so bad. And it's not that I necessarily want one more trophy or two more trophies.
Right.
Or I just
want
to get to level
12.
I want to level up, right?
I want to know I'm a baller.
And so
I don't want to just say
exactly.
I want people to see it.
And so you could do things like when you level up, when you trophy level up, you get a couple bucks,
right?
And that kind of stuff.
That'd
so
be cool.
I think we're moving in the right direction in the way that game developers can use trophies, not just Sony and Microsoft using trophies and achievements, but the way game developers can do it is exactly how Darksiders did, is use those to reward players in your sequels.
Now you learn something new every day. I didn't even know that. And what I'm most excited about, of course, is Sleeping Dogs. I've talked about this.
Yeah, I looked into it a little more and watched some gameplay videos online.
I'm really excited.
And it looks really good.
I think it's gonna be good.
I mean, it's like a Hong Kong action movie.
Yeah,
is exactly what it looks like.
Little Jean Wu in there too. I'm excited. So that's hitting in August as well.
And they give you the Max Payne bullet vision.
Yes.
Every time you do something cool.
Love it.
So it's
ultra violence.
It's gonna be
and
a
Kung Fu
fun
fighting.
Game to play.
Yes, please.
It's just, I mean, it's gonna be a very very fun game to play.
It's gonna be a lot.
And
then of course we have the 15,000 Madden coming out at the end of August, which if you're like me, you're always excited about. Football's around the corner.
Right.
So, and Madden 13, I think, is actually finally adding good changes with its physics engine.
It looks like it's the real. There are real changes, and EA has had big pre-orders on this game, significantly bigger
over the last like week too. It's just exploded.
Right. So they have significantly higher for 13 than they did for 12, and I think it's because they're making bigger and better.
And if
changes.
You're wondering if those changes are actually worth it, you can check it out Tuesday, August 7th. They will have a demo out there for you, so you can download it and check the game out. And then speaking of demos. But last but not least, a demo that I just recently played before this, Transformers Fall of Cybertron is coming out in August as well. And I just rocked that demo. I was telling Drew, and then I had to stop telling Drew because we're doing a podcast.
That's right.
you know, I came on here and I said I was really excited, and I'm not anymore. I know you weren't expecting
it. It's faded a little bit.
It has. The demo wasn't that great. I mean...
So what is the demo? Is it a single player, multiplayer?
Huge demo. It lets you play a portion of Bumblebee's story, and then a portion of another Decepticon story, mm-hmm. and then you get to play one level of multiplayer.
Okay.
And so I played all of it, and I did some time in multiplayer, and I mean, it was cool, but they said they were going to make huge changes, and they said they were going to make it really big, and they did, but I think it suffers from it. You know, the campaigns that I played had huge set pieces, but tons of texture pop in. I was like waiting for stuff to load up, and I was like, "This doesn't look that good." And it, you know, it was cool.
And the first one, that was one of the coolest things, Cybertron being beat alive for really the first time ever.
But it has that Gears of War. For those of you who played Gears of War, you slowly watch these textures forming, and it seemed like it did that on every cut sequence, and it kind of took me out of it. But
I wonder if that's
still
just for. Hopefully it's just for the demo.
And you know, hopefully.
Hopefully it's fixed if you actually bring in the game and install part of the game and that kind of stuff.
Hopefully the demo doesn't reflect upon the game that's actually coming out. I'm sure they'll have time to fix it, and I'm sure they'll release a first day update. But, I mean, I'm still excited to play the story because it looks cool, and I like the idea that they're doing. But it definitely took some off there. And then I went into multiplayer, and that's where it hit home. And I was like, this sucks. I couldn't kill anybody. Like, I mean, the amount of hits it took to kill somebody was ridiculous.
Well,
I swear to God, I was shotgunning this guy for like 10 minutes and he didn't die. And I was like, what is going on? And then the balance just wasn't there like it was in the first game. In a game where you're going to be able to transform, in a game where you're going to be able to do all these things and have all these upgrades, like, you really got to have this balance. Mm-hmm. I couldn't kill anybody. I went through all the classes and I was trying to shoot people. I got headshots. And it just didn't feel like I was packing a punch. It felt like I really had to dive into him. I even, at one time, I ran down the map as an infiltrator. I was invisible. Mm-hmm. I meleeed this guy and then started shooting him, and he still killed me. And I was just like, what is going on here? Like, how can I melee you, get an upper hand, and shotgun you, and then you're not dead? So, I don't know, man.
It's, we'll have to see how that pans out. That's, you know, I didn't play multiplayer in the first game, and I'm not necessarily excited about multiplayer in the second one, but I am excited to play through the story.
Yeah,
hopefully they fix a couple of those bugs, or that the demo isn't completely, entirely reflecting.
It's no longer a day one game for me.
It is, okay.
So, I mean, it's too bad. I mean, sometimes that happens with demos, and you don't want the demo to speak that loudly to you, but it did. So that's our look at August. So definitely check it out still. I mean, if you're a fan of the first one.
It looks like, I mean, I'm sure it'll be a good game.
Yeah,
I'm sure the story will be really good. They did the right thing on the way that the guys that they brought in to do the story and to voice the characters, it's Transformers at its finest, really.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
really, the voice acting is phenomenal, so I don't want to get your hopes down, but definitely check out the demo and make sure that, you know, that you like what they've done. I don't know, do you think we have time? I don't think we have time to talk about the Ouya today. We'll probably have to wait for that next time.
Yeah, we'll cut it off. We're getting close on 50 minutes here. We don't want to make
your guys' time. Yeah. So next week we'll actually talk about the Ouya. There's lots.
A lot of
about.
Big things. It keeps developing. Just real quick hits. It got on live.
Yeah, it got on live.
It has Final Fantasy III as a launch title.
Launch title. 6 million right now on Kickstarter.
Right. It's one of the hugest Kickstarters of all time.
And then the recent update was that Vivo is going to come with
right.
it as well.
And so, yeah, so you're going to get some music app.
Who cares?
But it's nice. It's something. It's big things supporting the Ouya.
Right.
And so it's exciting to see. And it's nice to have a fresh competitor in the market.
Yes.
Maybe it'll push some good change for the rest of the industry. It's things like when PlayStation first came in and when Xbox first came, when those were, you know, they first came into the market, they changed the shape of the market. When the iPhone first came to the market, the app store has changed. You know, we're getting free to play now, right? We're getting microtransaction based economies and that kind of stuff. And they're really, you know, it's when newcomers come in that it really changes the shape of the industry a lot of the time. And that's one of the things we study in business and that kind of stuff. Like, we did a full case on Sony and how they just changed the world with the PlayStation.
If you want to hear our take on how Ouya is going to change everything, definitely tune in for next week.
Next
on
week
that.
Will be,
And to finish this off, I always like to throw some movie news out there for you guys. There might be a little spoiler here. So, about X-Men First Class, they are making another one. I don't think it's a huge spoiler. It's just what the movie's going to be about. Bryan Singer said himself he is modeling the story over the Days of Future Past comic. They're going to take some liberties with it, obviously. And for those of you who don't know what that is, check it out on Wiki to give you a quick snippet of it. It's going to deal with the present and certain things that happen in the present, needless to say, result to a future that is run by the Sentinels, where, you know, the mutants are in concentration camps. And we've got these massive machines destroying everything. So it's definitely a huge movie. And I can't wait to see what they do with that. I'm excited.
That was one of my favorite comic book movies of all time is that X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of gets lost when people talk about comic book movies now because we've had the Avengers and we've had the cap of the Dark Knight trilogy. Yeah. But it's, to me, it's right up there with him. X-Men movie is really good.
And because of The Dark Knight, and because of these ambitious films like The Avengers, you know, they're letting Bryan Singer really
and
make
then they pay off,
X-Men.
Right? Like, right. You know, they've seen that, people really are interested in this. They really want to go see movies like this.
And I don't know how you want to take it, but the ending of the interview, he kind of said that he wants to expand out into this Marvel universe. So who knows what that means. Maybe we'll get some people in there. And then on top of that, a little crazy thing here. Scott, I can't say his last name, and I don't really feel like it. The guy who directed Act of Valor, which was a horrible movie, yes, I know, will be making a Need for Speed movie, and he's actually going to be integrating the Unreal Engine into the film. So I think that's pretty interesting. I don't really know what that means. It could be horrible.
Yeah, I guess for the cool. Like for the animations driving and that kind of stuff.
Maybe
and
we will finally see a video game on big screen.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it sounds like.
You'll probably like sit in your chair and be like, man, where's my controller? But I mean, who knows?
I wish I was driving right now.
I know, right? And then I think Drew wanted to...
Wanted to tell everybody. Yes. Because there's a movie that not a lot of people have seen that Brian and I went to see.
About.
Right, like nobody knows. If you knew about this, you would go watch it, trust me. Because it is one of the greatest movies. So if you ever get a chance, check out Attack the Block.
Amazing.
We saw it last summer. Austin is a really good place for films. They do a lot of good...
We saw the Alamo Draft House, and me and Drew were like, I think I just witnessed perfection.
Yeah, it's a great movie. The ending sequence of that movie is crazy. Great. It's an alien story about them attacking the Block, which is a poor district in London, I believe. And so it's really cool.
That kind of jumped in our minds for you guys because if any of you were hoping The Watch was going to be good and it's not, go watch
Attack
the Block.
It's comedy. Yeah. It's funny. It's a very funny movie, and it blends action really well. It reminds me a little bit about Zombieland.
Yes, it does.
It does a really good job of blending action and anxiety and keeping you on your seat and still being funny. So check out Attack the Block, and next week look forward to Ouya and other next-gen news.
Yes, we'll hit on some next-gen stuff.
And we'll probably be talking a little bit about the demo for Madden.
That will definitely be out there. And then anything else we hear about for looking towards September, which is going to be another great month.
Right. Until then, check out our website at gamersfirstpodcast.wordpress.com. We're still just running the WordPress.
Yep.
But it looks like we're picking up on listeners and on viewers. And so
we've got
some good reviews and a couple articles. We'll keep you posted on some big things that happened, and we're mainly sticking with the podcast and the reviews for now, but more to come later. We're going
to
have a couple features.
Some really amazing once-a-week articles by me, but I'm not going to promise you anything because I don't like to break promises. Maybe I just don't want you to know.
Right.
I don't know.
So make sure you check out the website, and it's a good way to get into contact with us. You can also find us at Gamers First on Twitter, and it's Gamers First 1ST.
Actually, that
not one. Spelled out.
I can add
that. And I'll get so Gamers First, but it's 1ST for first instead of FIRST. And then you can also find me at Texas DI on Twitter, and give me a shout out there, ask me some questions, and you can always find out how to get in touch with us through that website. One more time, gamersfirstpodcast.wordpress.com.
Keep it classy, world.
That's right. Keep it classy, world. Yeah. Y'all take care. We'll talk to you next week. Later.
Sometimes you're clear as daylight, and I'm falling, yeah, I'm falling. Sometimes you're first.